Awesome. So we are in this series called Living a Life of Worship, and this is part two. And I thought it would just be good just to give like a real brief recap of last week. So just real brief. But last week, yeah, we did look at Exodus chapter 32, and we're looking at the whole story of how Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and then he left Aaron in charge, and then the Israelites, for whatever reason, forgot how awesome God was, and then they started worshipping an idol. And I guess I pose the question of, you know, like, we've actually really got to regularly check our hearts as we worship our God. And a part of, I think, living a life of worship is not just having Jesus as one little part of our life, but actually it is, Jesus is our life. And that, I don't know, that just has to be a mind shift for us, like thinking like Jesus is our life. So everything we do is really worship to him. So, and today I want to just, I guess, I don't know, give some practical things or thoughts on, you know, what it looks like to live a life of worship. And I wanted to go to Hebrews. It's my favorite, one of my favorite books in the Bible. There's a funny joke. Should I tell a funny joke? Because we're in the book of Hebrews. So a wife says to her husband, "Oh, it's always the responsibility of the husband to make the coffee." And you know why? Because Hebrews. Yeah, so bad. Okay, so anyway, moving right along. But I think it's actually really important for us to understand how we worship today is very different to how they worshipped in the Old Testament. And actually, in the Old Testament days, is they had the Levites, who were the priests, who the Israelites would actually have to come to, and the Levites would then take an offering for the Israelites to offer it to God, and then they'd, you know, it would be like a lamb or something, they'd sacrifice it, and then that would put the Israelite into like good standing with God, and then they'd, you know, they'd break the law or something, then they'd have to go through that whole process again. But today we have Jesus, who is the ultimate sacrifice, so that means that we actually have the privilege and honor of coming into the presence of God like freely through Jesus. I don't know about you, but that just absolutely blows my mind, thinking that anytime, anywhere, I can come and worship and be in the presence of Almighty God through Jesus. That gives me tremendous joy. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 11 until verse 14, and there's going to be other things in Hebrews, so if you have your Bible, keep it open at Hebrews, because we're going to be going there a bit today. So it says this: "So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever." Oh, this is so beautiful. "Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins." And just going on to chapter 10 now, from verses 9 to 10, it says, "Then he said, 'Look, I have come to do your will.' He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect." And I'll get to that in a minute. "But for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Oh my goodness. We are made holy because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I could just worship like I'm made holy. Like God, like I'm made, like he sees me as holy because I'm in Christ. That means I can come and worship him. That just blows my mind every day. So the first thing I just want to think about is the whole idea of living a life of worship is actually part of it is offering our whole selves to God. Romans 12:1, got a lot of verses here this morning. It says this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And just to give us a little bit of context of how the Levites used to worship, this is what it says. It says in Leviticus 3:16, just been, you know, going through the whole Old Testament, and it's really funny when you come across verses and you're like, oh. But Leviticus 3:16, it says, and the priest will burn them on the altar. It is a special gift of food, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Right? So the Levites would take an offering from the Israelites, burn it on the altar, and it would become a pleasing aroma to God. And yeah, it was a gift of gratitude from the Israelites. That's how they would have to often give gratitude to God. They'd go through the Levites, they'd offer a sacrifice, and it'd become a pleasing aroma to the Lord, right? And I've got so many verses. Here we go. Ephesians 1, chapter 3. We all know this one. It's what we've been talking about in Saturate, going all the way back. Anyone know it? Just yell it out. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, right? In Christ, because we're united with him. So living a life of worship, we actually get to express our gratitude no longer by like this little, not that it's like a little thing, but we don't do it anymore by an animal sacrifice that the Levites used to do, right? We don't actually have to be like, oh, I'm going to be joyous to the Lord and take a lamb and sacrifice it and give praise to God. It's not like that anymore. Instead, we actually now have the offering that we get to bring, the sacrifice of praise we get to bring is actually ourselves. Just think about that for a moment. Just ponder that for a moment. We actually get to bring ourselves as a living sacrifice and offer ourselves in worship to God. In every part of our being, we get to express gratitude for the gift that he has given us through Jesus. How incredible is that? Think about that for a moment. We get to bring ourselves as a living sacrifice. But I think the biggest trap that I often fall into, and this is just me, I don't know about you, but I often struggle with this sense of, I guess, oh, how could I be worthy? Like, because sometimes when I come into the presence of God, I think, man, yeah, God is a holy and righteous. It says in Hebrews, he's like an all-consuming fire. Like sometimes there's this, I just feel this sense of, oh my goodness, I didn't even feel worthy to actually enter into the throne room. But yet Hebrews actually tells me in 4:16, it says, we can enter into his throne room with confidence. We can enter the throne room of grace with confidence through not anything that I've done, but it's through Jesus. And actually being able to bring myself as an offering to God is not, yeah, it's not dependent on me at all. It's actually dependent on Jesus. And because of him, I do have a sense of, I am worthy. Not a sense of worthy. I am worthy because I'm in Christ. He makes me worthy and pleasing. And if you remember, it says he makes us holy. So when God looks at me, and he looks down at me, bringing an offering of praise. He's not like, pfft. He like sees worthiness. He sees holiness. He sees his son, Jesus. That's just so beautiful to me. I'm just like, okay, God. So that's the first thing, right? We offer our whole selves to God, our whole life, our whole being as a living sacrifice to God. The second thing I'd like to just say is, living a life of worship is we offer our praise to God. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips praising his name. I mean, it's really simple. We worship when we praise him and thank him for who he is and for all that he has done. I love the songs this morning. It was so about Jesus, because Jesus is the center of it all. I mean, without Jesus, we can't stand before God. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, it's so important to like have, like, Jesus has to be the center, because without him, like, it's pretty, like, we're pretty lost. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I hear people say, oh, what's the will of God for my life? Just get some thankfulness in your life. That's part of God's will for your life. Thankfulness towards him. Colossians 3:15 to 17 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Ah, there's so much to be thankful about. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Verse 16, this is, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. What a beautiful verse. I think God wants us, a part of living a life of worship is actually just expressing gratitude to God because of everything that Jesus has done. And it's not like God doesn't need our gratitude to make him feel good about himself or something. He is God. And he holds the universe in his hand. And like I shared last week, he is jealous for us. He's jealous for us. And he's jealous for our worship because it actually does rightfully belong to him. Because he is worthy. He alone is worthy of our worship. I say this often, but like, he doesn't need us, but he wants us. He relentlessly pursues us. And I don't know what paints a better picture of that than John 3:16. Like, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And our worship, because of Christ, actually becomes it's a sweet aroma to God. God's pleased by our gratitude. And I think it's interesting because sometimes, like, I think we benefit from worship way more, like, when I think about it. Because I don't know about you, but I often fall into the trap of, like, thinking the world owes me something. Yeah, I know it's only me. But I can fall into this victim mentality. And maybe it's part of how I was brought up. I didn't have the most awesome upbringing. But sometimes I can believe the lies that, oh, I'm just having a bad day. I'm unfortunate. Like, God, oh, like, all these bad things are happening. I don't know if you've ever experienced days like that. But when I worship, it flips that on its head. When I worship, actually start to practice faith by believing in the truth. When I begin to worship, I flip that by saying, like, well, actually, I am incredibly blessed because if I think about it, if I think of Jesus, man, what have I got to be worried about? I got Jesus living on the inside of me, the hope of glory. I know where I'm going. There's a future. There's a hope. Yet sometimes I still get stuck on, oh, I'm having such a bad day. Like, but I know when I start to worship, I start to actually practice faith and start to believe the truth of who Jesus says I am. And it just benefits me. It actually changes. And we always say this, behavior is an echo of belief. Hebrews 13:15 says, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. It's our whole life. And man, I love coming together on a Sunday to worship. There's something so powerful about when we corporately come together and we just, you know, that was so awesome when we just took some time to pray for one another, for healing. But, you know, that's just one day on a Sunday. And part of us continually, you know, living out our faith, it's every day. The Monday is important. The Tuesday is important. Like every day. And I don't think any of us are like part-time Christians, but I'm just preaching to myself, really. But like, it's every day I'm following Jesus. Every day I want to be living a life of worship. Not just on a Sunday or on a Friday or, you know, whenever we happen to come together as the corporate body of believers, but it's every day. Jesus is our life. I'm preaching to myself, really. But that is the challenge, though. It's actually to continually give thankfulness towards God, to continually be thankful in our hearts towards Him. Okay, so I'm almost finished. Number three, I'm doing all right, eh? I'm pretty good. Not too long. Number three would be worship God with your material resources. Hebrews 13:16 says, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. So part of living a life of worship is by sharing and doing good. It's a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. It says that in Hebrews 13:16. And the way, and I always say this all the time, but the way we love others is a reflection of our love for God. It's actually impossible to say that we love God and not have love for others. If that makes sense. Our love for others is a reflection often of our love for God. And when we love each other and love others, we share and we do good. And that's actually worship to God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. That's why we love. It's not to like earn His favor or something. Like, we already have His favor. Just saying, it's Jesus, we have His favor. But our love is actually, it's a response to our love for Him. And it's from the inside out. Okay, Philippians 4:19. I love this verse. Someone prayed this morning. It says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to say, like, you know, tithing is a good starting point. It's like a good in to, like, start worshipping God with our materials and our resources. But again, I would say if Jesus is our life, everything we have is His. And we actually get the opportunity to give a little bit back to Him. That's worship to God. And I think it's more than just bringing a tithe on a Sunday. It's actually living out of a place of generosity. And it's about our time, treasure, and our talent. Like, it's all His. And we just get the privilege of actually giving it back to Him. It's pretty cool. Okay, my final point, hang in there, doing so well. Thanks for listening. Thanks be to God, really. But the fourth one is this: we worship God by serving others. Hebrews 13:16, it says, don't forget to do good. God wants us to love others and do good to them. And I think what he's talking about is like to actually love with a sacrificial love. In a sense, it's like love with no strings attached. It's an unconditional love that he wants us to love others with. Because that's the kind of love that our Heavenly Father loves us with. There's no conditions placed to, like, it's unconditional. It's unconditional. And yet so many times I catch myself thinking, oh, that person's so difficult to love. What is that? Like God wants us to love with an unconditional love, no strings attached. That's actually worship to him. And just, this is one of my favorite verses. It's in Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And then verse 9, I love this. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. It's one of my probably all-time favorite verses. God gives each of us gifts. And when we actually use those gifts, we worship God. And I don't know about you, if like you know what your spiritual gifts are. I feel like I'm figuring them out every day. But they are actually for building each other up, building up the body of Christ. And that's actually what we're called to do. We're actually called to build each other up and encourage each other and use the gifting that God's placed within us, because that's actually living a true life of worship. So yeah, use your gift. That's all I've got to say really this morning. Those are my 4 points. Thanks for listening. But can we sing one more song? We got time, heaps of time. Maybe we can do Heart of Worship or something beautiful, you know. So. So living a life of worship, Justin, to summarize, is offer your whole self to God. He wants our whole being. He wants every part of our life. Because Jesus, we have to shift our mindset of Jesus is a part of my life to actually Jesus is my life. He wants every part of us. And then the second thing is offer your praise to God. Like just continually find thankfulness in your heart for the amazingness and awesomeness of God, for who he is and everything that he's done for you through Jesus. Third thing would be worship God with your resources, your time, talent and your treasures. That's actually giving our all to God, being like giving our all to God. And yeah, just the last thing was worship God by actually serving others. That's part of our worship to God. So yeah, we'll just sing one more song and just ponder those thoughts. Or maybe there's an area that you're like, oh, you haven't really surrendered that part of your life to God. Or then maybe now's a good time to do that. I don't know. But yeah, so we'll sing this one song. And also just want to say that I know often we rush off, or not rush, but we just kind of leave after the service. But I do want to just make space. Like, if we did pray for healing before, but if you feel like, man, I just want more prayer, we'd like to just have a space to be able to do that and pray with you, because yeah, we do want to see God move. And yeah, I just want to just encourage you, if you do need prayer after the service, to come find, you know, either myself or Lenny or Beryl, some of the team. We'd love to actually pray with you. But yeah, we're just going to sing, we're just going to linger and just be in His presence one more time. And well, we are in His presence, but yeah, we're just going to worship one more time. And yeah, thanks, team.